All right, thank you for that. We are going to be in Luke chapter 7 this morning. Again, thank you for being here, and I hope you stay with us for the day and go with us as we go to the park and eat with us in the second service. We are in the third week of a series we're doing, Let's Be Great. We're looking through the chapter of Luke chapter number 7, where the word great was used three times in three different stories, and so we're at the third story here, and of course, the last story we'll look at next week, the word great is not used in conjunction with that, but the principle is given. You know, we ought to want to strive to be great, not in the sense of what the world says is great, but in the eyes of God. I would want God to look at my life and not in a self-serving way say he tried to do great things for me. He had some great qualities. We looked at the first week, of course, the quality of faith. And then last week, we looked at the quality of compassion. Compassion. Tonight, we're going to look at something else. When we think about greatness, what makes a man great? When the world defines greatness, the world defines it by accomplishments. What did you make happen? That's how the world does it. But the Bible has a different one. See, God's definition of greatness is really tied up in our relationship with him, in our obedience to him, and our love of others. Completely different. There's another aspect of greatness we're going to see in this story today, which is different than the world's. You know, many years ago, I was reading a book, and a guy said when he was in college, he had to write a paper for one of his classes, so he wanted to write a paper on the difference in of principles of leadership from the turn of last century, the late 1800s, early 1900s, and the current time. So he did a lot of research, and he come to find out what the difference was. Today's books on success will deal with what you accomplish. Just getting it done. Doesn't matter so much how you do it. It's all about results. But the books he was reading from 100 years ago, everything about leadership and success was around the type of person you are, the character you had. Because in the whole scheme of things, if you're the right kind of person, you'll do the right kind of thing. And you can accomplish results, but you can accomplish results in the wrong way. And so that's kind of where we're going to go with that today. As we come to this portion of Scripture, John, of course, the Baptist, is in prison. It's been a year and a half since the time that he presented Jesus as the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And just a year and a half later, as Jesus is really in the middle of his earthly ministry, here is John languishing in prison. He's sitting there, and we know what's going to happen. Eventually, he's going to lose his head, and he's going to lose his life, and he's discouraged. By the way, before we criticize him for his being discouraged, how often have we been discouraged about things? We start, when we get discouraged, we are prone to start doubting the things that are going on and our place in all of it. So this is where John is at. And so in his doubt, he sends a couple of his guys to go to Jesus, and here's the question. Are you the one that is supposed to be here that's coming? Basically, are you the Messiah, or should we be looking for somebody else? Now, this is John the Baptist. This is John who a year and a half earlier was proclaiming Jesus to be the Messiah, but in his doubt, he sent a few of his men to go check out. So the men come, and they give the message to Jesus. John is asking, are you really the Messiah, or should we be waiting for somebody else? Verse 22, what happens is as they show up, Jesus starts healing people. Jesus starts casting out spirits, and he's doing all these miraculous things. And then in verse 22, he says this, Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what great things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. He says, go back and give John the answer. Tell him everything that you have seen. John's probably sitting in prison, you know, and he knows the verse in Isaiah where it talks about the coming Messiah, and, you know, he'll set the captives free. And John's like, I'm not being set free. I'm still stuck here. But Jesus sends the message. Look at everything that's going on. That although in spite of what's going on in your life and everything around you, I am he, and the things that are being done are the things that are supposed to be done. Doubts. Now here's what happens. John's disciples come. They share the doubt that John is having with Jesus. There was a crowd of people around. I'm sure there's others that heard that. And then Jesus does all this healing, and Jesus sends them on his way. And I wonder if some in the crowd were starting to think, you know, what is this about John? Isn't John that tremendous prophet? Wasn't he the forerunner to Christ? And here he is doubting the very Messiah that he led the way for. Well, Jesus comes to his defense to those people. Look at verse 28. Jesus, understanding they're probably starting to get a misconception about John, says this about John. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a, and there's that word, greater. There is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now, maybe it's just my personality. I like the prophets. I like those stories. I like the stories like, you're not going to listen? Fine, God's going to deal with you. I like that. I probably shouldn't. My favorite story about Jesus is when he went into the temple and he kicked the tables over. I kind of like that. So we think about, who's the greatest prophet? Is it Elijah? Elijah, the one that stood up to Ahab, that stood up to Jezebel, that called down fire for heaven on the sacrifice and had the false prophets all slain. And then when the king came to take him away, he had fire come down from heaven. That's my kind of guy. I like him. But what about Elisha? Elisha followed after Elijah. And Elisha asked for a double portion, and he did exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah. And by the way, if you know your Bible, he had a really good hairstyle. Okay, read your Bible. You'll figure that one out. Now, let's have some balance here. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. A man who was courageous. He would preach the truth of God, which went against everything that was going on in their country. And then he had the compassion to weep when things didn't go right. Oh, there's a lot of great prophets. But you know who Jesus cast his vote for? John. Now let's think about this. How can John be a great prophet? Let me read a verse to you. John chapter 10, verse 41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Now listen to their statement. You know, John didn't do miracles. John wasn't a miracle worker. John wasn't doing these over-the-top things where they'd say, wow, look at how God is listening to him, and look at all the miraculous things he's doing. Wow, he must be one of the... John didn't do any miracles. He was just a great spiritual man. Understand this. Greatness comes from who you are, not necessarily what you do. Now think about that. See, we want all the accolades, and we want to do the big things. And I'm not against doing big things for God. I kind of like that. But that doesn't make you great. I knew a guy one time. This guy could fill a bus like nobody's business. Now, I say this jokingly, but only half. I doubted his salvation. He just was involved. Look, just because you can do things doesn't mean that you're right. It's who you are on the inside. What made John a great prophet? He didn't do a bunch of miracles, but you know what John did? John had great character. Where does that come from? In ancient times, that when a craftsman would create something, particularly jars or vases of that type of thing, he would put his mark on there. They called that mark his character. In other words, that mark represented the one who created this product. And that was his character. It said to the people when they got his character, that this is a quality product because of the man behind it. By the way, that made them work hard to make sure the products they were making were of great quality. They identified who they were with what they did. In other words, they created great works because of the character they had to do the right thing and to do it to the best of their ability. I think if we're going to be great, we have to have an internal character. Now, I want to answer two questions in the few minutes we have here. They're very simple. What great character is, and what great character isn't. If John is the greatest prophet and he didn't do any miracles, he never called down fire from heaven, he never fed a multitude with a little bit, he never did any of that. But Jesus said he was the greatest prophet. So what isn't great character? Well, look at verse 19. And this is encouraging. It isn't perfection. John calling unto him two of his disciples sent unto Jesus saying, art thou he that should come or look we that should come or look we for another? Here's this great prophet, and you know what? He had doubts. Now let me just say this, he didn't disbelieve. That's a big difference. But he had doubts. Things weren't going well. Maybe some discouragement set in. And John had some doubts. You know, think through the Bible characters. Didn't Moses want to quit on several occasions? Remember Jeremiah, when he was in stocks, he decided, I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. I've had it. You look throughout the Bible. Elijah, the great prophet who I personally like, called down fire from heaven. Jezebel said one time, I'm going to kill you. And he runs into the wilderness and has a pity party and says, I want to die. Well, if he wanted to die, he should have went back to Jezebel. She already said she'd take care of it. Doubt happens. And it doesn't make you a bad person, because having great character doesn't mean you are perfect. Let us understand this. People with character understand their weaknesses. Yeah, they think that they don't have any weaknesses. No, we understand we have weaknesses. And by the way, when you don't think you have weaknesses and you think you have everything figured out, that is when you are really setting yourself up for a fall. You really are. A person that understands their weaknesses makes provisions to make sure they don't give in to their weaknesses. But when you don't think you have weaknesses and you have everything together, you're walking full-blown into something you don't want to walk into. But it isn't perfection. So that's good for all of us. Verse 25, it isn't prosperity. As Jesus is talking about John, in verse 25 he says this, he's defending John. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. Now, if you know the story of John the Baptist, he was not dressed for success. But the point he's making here is John wasn't seeking a life of prosperity. Do you know John was in the priestly line? John could have had the cushy job of a priest. No, not that it was perfect, but I mean, he wouldn't have had all the drama. And really, John had a little bit of fire in him. John could have probably made a run at being the high priest. But you know what? He didn't do that. He lived in the wilderness. He ate an unusual diet. And he was content to do the will of God. Too often we think of success, of bank accounts, the outer trappings of the world. When the world looks at success, they want to see, where do you live, what do you drive, and what are you wearing? That's it. And by the way, we buy into that. We want to buy something just so people, look, we don't need to put on a show. There's nothing wrong if God's allowed you to make some money, but that doesn't make you a man of great character. Come on, you've read the news over the last few years. How many people that have more money than they could ever spend, you find out underneath there was a lot of things going on in their life that weren't right. You can have all the money in the world, but if you have zero character and you're doing shady and evil things in the background, that doesn't make you a great person. The problem isn't that God may not give some of you prosperity or that your work may be blessed. The problem is we make our goal in life prosperity instead of the will of God. The will of God. We would rather have the stuff than to follow the Lord. Very, very sad. By the way, let me say this. Maybe you went to our Christian school or you had a Christian upbringing. And because of that, you're going to learn a little bit of character. And you know what? If you paid attention and you learned some of the biblical principles, you can go out into this world and you can apply those and you can be successful. You can. They can't even find people to work now. We were looking at a restaurant to take our speakers for the youth conference, and their hours, they used to open at 11 in the morning. It's like, hey, we want to come for lunch. We don't open that early anymore. We asked them why. They said, we can't find workers. Well, what is wrong with us? Anyhow, that's a story for another day. But listen to me. And by the way, if you work somewhere, you ought to work with character. And you ought to work hard. And I used to just think, look, if they're giving out promotion and raises, why shouldn't I get it? But I wasn't gonna cheat to get it. But you know what happens with some of you? You'll be content to take that, and you won't follow God's will if God wants you to do something different. I say it over and over. Everybody wants to surrender to be a Russell Anderson. No one wants to surrender to be a missionary. Why? Prosperity. You know what else character isn't? It isn't position. Look at verse 26. But what want you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. And I already mentioned John could have went up in his life. John could have been a very, he didn't have to live really the life that he lived in the wilderness. He could have had a cushy job, but he decided not to do that. What about for us? We're too concerned about what others think of us. We want to be the big shots. And by the way, you know, we're so peer driven. We want to be uplifted in people's eyes. By the way, that's one of the things that's a problem with social media. Quit listening to what people say. You could say anything on social media, and there's going to be someone that hates it. I found a cure to cancer. Well, why didn't you find a cure to heart disease? There's always something. That's just how people are. You ever see these people that are, some of these athletes are sensitive about what people say about them, and they're always saying, it's like, get over it. You can't worry about what people say. You ought to do what God wants you to do. Yep. You look, D.L. Moody said this, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. Amen. Take care of itself. Lastly, we got to hurry in this section. It isn't about power. Look at verse 41. John chapter 10, verse 41. Let me quote it unto you. And I already mentioned it before. Many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. It wasn't about big. John didn't do all these big things. It wasn't about that. John knew what his job was, and he stuck to it. His job was to promote Jesus Christ. It's not about being a bigwig. It's not about all this stuff. I love that story about Paul. And I think it's Acts chapter 27 where Paul is being taken to Rome. He appealed to be to Caesar, and he's on this ship, and he's a prisoner. And the ship goes through all these dramas, and it eventually sinks, and they're stuck on an island. And here's Paul, a prisoner. By the end of the story, he's kind of running the show. He's going to the thing, saying, hey, now, well, you need to eat, so you guys got to sit down. He's kind of, why? He wasn't a big shot. He just looked for his opportunity. Power. Next, I want to show us what character really is. What is character? What would make me a person of character? Well, first of all, we have to have a purpose. Verse 27. He said of John, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. You see, John had a purpose in life from the very minute he was born. He was given that special job to prepare for the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. That's all he did. He pointed the way to Jesus Christ. That was his purpose. And can I tell you something? He stuck with his purpose with dogged determination. Now let me ask you that. What's your purpose in life? See, we can have purposes that are more focused in on results instead of character and right actions. Not John. John did what he was supposed to do. He had, what's your purpose? You know, the ultimate purpose for every single one of us ought to be the will of God. Yep. It ought to be finding out exactly what God wants me to do. And let me say this, you could be successful in any endeavor in life, and if that's not God's will for you, that will not bring joy. Now, if that's God's will for you, have at it. But far too many people, they don't even put God in the equation when it comes to what they're doing in their life. They just kind of like to do what they do and kind of tack God on at the end. It doesn't work that way. Yep. He had a great purpose. What is your purpose in life? Without God's purpose, you will never be content. When your purpose in life lines up with what God wants in your life, that's where contentment comes from. Yep. It's purpose. It's also principled. Matthew chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. Let me explain what got John in trouble in the first place. It says, "For Herod had laid hold on him and bound him and put him into prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her." You know, Herod had taken his brother's wife. John realized that wasn't right. And so John wasn't really quiet about it. John told everybody he could. John preached at him. It's not right for you to do that. You know what that, by the way, you're talking to someone who eventually did put him into prison. You're talking to someone that can cause him trouble. But for John, it wasn't about saying something that would be accepted. It was about saying something that was just absolutely true. Amen. Look, can I just tell you something? People don't live by principle anymore. Yeah. You look at all this garbage that's being spewed out in our society today. I guarantee you there's a lot of people that step in line with it that don't believe in it because they don't have the guts to stand against it. That's why athletes make me nauseous. They do. You know why? They don't want to lose their money. America's oppressive, but they won't say a word about what's going on in China because that'll cost them. There's no principle there. Politicians have zero principle. What's going on? Why don't they just say, here's what I believe. This is the right thing to do. Well, if we do that, I know people that won't like it. If it's the right thing, oh well. We have no principle. You know what the problem is? Everything we believe and everything that's right is always up for debate. And it's more of a popularity contest than it is, what does God just say about the whole thing? By the way, John nailed this one. True character. We want to embrace everything that's popular, and we don't want to believe in anything. Most Christians only have biblical convictions. Now listen to this. Most Christians only have biblical convictions until they've smashed heads with what they desire to do. You want an example or two? Sure. Okay. Think of our young people. They grew up in church, and they've been taught about tithing. And our kids, you know, you got a dollar, you put a dime in the plate. Then they grow up and get a job. And when you get that paycheck, it's not a dollar that mommy gave me. By the way, I'm thankful for our teenagers. They gave to the building big time. Yeah. Most young people, let's really meddle for a minute. They believe in purity and right until they actually start liking somebody. Yeah. Then they get loose. They believe in living right until they get an iPad or a cell phone. Should I say it? Okay. No teenager needs a cell phone. Yeah, I know you all hate to hear that, and I hate to say it, but come by my office. I really get sick and tired of all the drama I deal with, and when I look at it, it's all associated to a teenager with a cell phone. My kids ain't getting a cell phone until they're 18. If they're acting like a student, they're not going to get one then. I'm not going to put poison in their hand. Yeah. But we keep doing it. we're putting them in a position, this is a commercial message, so give me 30 seconds. We're putting them in a position of failure.
Yep.
Well, I thought they were a good kid. They were, but you just handed them a rattlesnake. Oh, not my son or daughter. Well, I can tell you if it's your son or daughter. Do they have blood flowing through their veins? By the way, if you knew what people try to do through texting and all these social media, Snapchat, you name it, go on and on and on. Direct messaging. Come on, let's snap out of it here. Well, you know, I just don't understand that stuff. Come see me, I do. We'll have someone help you. Back to our regularly scheduled message. Do you know that it's not just the young folks that are struggling with this kind of thing? You believe in the sanctity of marriage, and so you start flirting with that person at work. You get that little inappropriate text message. By the way, I can help you with that. You're at work or something, a guy, typically it's a guy, because guys, we're idiots, I get it. He sends you some inappropriate text message or email, here's what you do. You send it back and say, drop dead.
Yep.
My pastor said. Here's one. Let me ask my husband about that. Hey, you want to go out? Sure. Meet me at 10:30 Sunday morning at 3300 Magnolia Avenue. That's the new address of the church, okay? Just so you didn't. But come on. We have to have principle enough to where, by the way, everything you stand for or believe is going to be challenged. You got to take the challenge. Shall we move on? A principled person does that which is right regardless of any potential consequence. I read this and it was very convicting. It's a guy named Dave Cottrell. Here's what he said about character and integrity. Ready? It's doing the right thing, listen to this, even if there is no chance you would be caught doing the wrong thing.
Come on.
Next to that I wrote, ouch.
Yeah, come on.
Because see, most people would do the wrong thing if they thought they wouldn't get caught. And so let's be principled. We're about done. It's in pointing. In Luke chapter number 3, he pointed people. John answered in verse 16. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize. You know what he's doing? He just pointed people to Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And by the way, when you have that kind of purpose in life and you understand what it means to be a Christian, and by the way, there are a lot of benefits to being saved.
Yeah.
There are so many benefits to being a Christian. God just blesses us so much. But if we understand that being a Christian is basically representing Christ, we'd point people to Christ.
Yeah.
And everything in our life would line up to make sure we're doing that. Then lastly, it's profitable. John, he said in John chapter 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Same concept. You know, for Christians, let's be Christians legitimately. Let's strive to have the character of Christ formed in us.
Amen.
Let's not live our life trying to see what we can accomplish for ourselves. Let's be the right kind of person right here.
Yeah.
You say that may not be popular. No, but it's right. It may not make me the things that I want to be. No, but it'll give you contentment and joy.
Yes, sir.
Let's do the right type of things. What is character? What is success? What is greatness? It's who you are, not necessarily what you achieve. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just for 1 minute, please, if you could. When it comes to success, the world is totally off base. Totally off base. Many, many, many years ago, in the late 90s, there was I forget his last name, but his name was Lawrence. He was a running back for the University of Nebraska. He had some serious issues with the law. In fact, he scaled a 3-story apartment, climbed into his girlfriend's apartment, and beat her. He was able to get out on that and play in the championship game. Lawrence Phillips. In the championship game, he did great. And here was one of the news headlines. Lawrence Phillips silences his critics. Do you understand what that meant? Just because he had a good football game, he shut up everybody who was upset with him for beating his girlfriend. That doesn't compute, people. But that's how our world sees success. It's not who you are. It's not who you are, it's what you do. But Christianity is the opposite. Everything you do is a result of who you are. And if you're the right person, you'll do the right thing. And the results will be left to God. I think we ought to strive to have spiritual maturity. I think we ought to strive to be the Christians inside, where no one sees anything, where we wouldn't be embarrassed if everybody saw everything about us. That's true greatness. Maybe you're here this morning, right? You're not 100% for sure that you're even a child of God. You're not even sure you're saved. You could achieve everything this world has to offer, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, it's a waste. It's just a waste. Let me ask you a question. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Or do you have any doubt? If you have doubt, we can help you with that. No one looking around. Let me just ask this one more time. Would you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to know, Pastor, would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that at all? If there is, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Let's stand together, please, for a minute. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you about anything, let's work inwardly at being the type of people we're supposed to be. And if we are, the outward stuff will take care of itself. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we don't have to be well known. We don't have to have all these different things, Lord, but we can be great in the right kind of way in your eyes if we just have great character. Lord, help us to constantly be growing, to be the spiritual individuals you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.